money and wealth. As John was just sharing with the rest of us, God has a claim on it. And it seems to be like a mundane, earthly topic. And yet, the Bible is not silent about it. It speaks a lot about money and wealth. And that the question is, where are you going to get your wisdom to relate to it, to think about it? Do you have a theology of money? Or where do you get your wisdom about it? From the Word of God or from the world? Money, money, money. Always sunny in the rich man's world. You guys, young guys, do you guys know who sings that? Yes? Abba, yes. Mr. Mayo was telling me that was in the 70s, right? Yeah, I was yesterday looking at songs that talk about money. Not Christian songs, just songs. There's so many of them. All sorts of genres. There's hip-hop and rock and roll and heavy metal. There's all sorts of bands that talk about money. ABBA, Aerosmith, Pet Shop Boys, Michael Jackson, The Beatles. You know, I work all day to get your money, to buy your things. So where are you going to get your wisdom about money? Today we are continuing the series on the book of Proverbs. And as you know, this book is very different from the other books in the Bible. There's no like a logical sequence of ideas and thoughts that go through large sections of the verses. They are actually more like very short nuggets of wisdom and goal that come from the book of Proverbs. So it's different to preach about from the book of Proverbs. So to prepare for this message, what I did is this. I read the whole book of Proverbs, and I started highlighting all the verses that I could find that talk about wealth and money in the book of Proverbs. Then I got those verses and I start categorizing them into specific topics that all seem to fall into. And I came up with 12 groups of topics that are confined, that can be found in the book of Proverbs, but they are confined to that book. So for this message, I'll just walk you through those 12 nuggets of wisdom that speak about wealth. So if you're taking notes again, please don't get frustrated. I'll just swipe through it. We will post the 12 nuggets of wisdom in the website so you later can review it. You can even just meditate on each one of them once a day if you will, or organize it however you will like. But we're going to cover a lot of scripture today and 12 points. I never preach a message with 12 points, but don't worry, we'll go through it. Now, I wanted to clarify before we start that we're not covering everything that the Bible has to say about the topic of money. In general, in the book of Proverbs, riches and wealth are actually put into a relatively positive perspective. Basically, the good guys, if they work hard, they are faithful, they may become wealthy. And there's a positive view of it. But the New Testament is different. If you recall, Jesus says, like, it's very difficult that the rich will enter the kingdom of God. And the epistles have several places where they warn significantly against the trust in money. But today we'll just cover what the Bible has to say about money and wealth in the book of Proverbs. And we will confine ourselves to it. So the book of Proverbs is part of the Bible, and it has matter-of-fact wisdom from which we can learn. So let's just pray with me and let's dive into it. Lord, you have a claim over our lives about all aspects and spheres of them. How we see money, how we use it, how we manage it, how we think about it, how we see you in respect to money matters to you. You're not silent. You have a very clear perspective about it. And in particular today, we want to be able to hear from you from the wisdom that comes from the book of Proverbs. So I pray that you will be with us and that, as always you do, you will speak to us through the proclamation of your holy and sacred word. We pray all this in your name. Amen. All right, so let's start right into nugget of wisdom number one. The Lord blesses those who honor him. So we'll start in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. This is what it says. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. This is a great place to start. No matter how much you have, whether you have little or much, we are all called to honor the Lord with our wealth, with the things that he has provided to us. Now, the picture here in this verse comes from an agrarian, agricultural society where wealth was defined as having enough for myself and having enough to be generous and to give to others. That's how wealth was defined here. And people work hard, the soil, they sow the seeds, they plant them, and they see them growing, and eventually they are able to benefit from the produce of the soil. So here we're called to honor the Lord with the first fruits of produce. So it's assumed here that the person that is working in the land offers the first fruits that the land produces when they plant it and gives it to the Lord. Actually, Dev Mayo and I were speaking this morning about it, and he was telling me how it requires discipline to separate money every month or regularly. I don't know when you receive your paycheck or how you're paid, but he was saying it requires discipline to separate some money and to live just with the rest, to be able to give it to the Lord. And that's kind of what this is speaking here. The person that is working in the land is desirous, it wants to honor the Lord with his wealth and with the first fruits of produce. He gives it to the Lord. He recognizes that it is the Lord who has actually provided everything. He has planted the seed. He has let it grow. He has sent the rain. He has allowed the plant to grow. Eventually, the wheat comes out, and then he transforms it. And the word says, he provides bread to the sower. Now, there's not that many people here that work planting the soil and then eating from their work, except for Steve Wisga, right? He has his pillar of gardens, vegetables, and he eats actually from it. Yeah, there's some of you that do that, but most of us have just normal jobs. I am a software engineer. I push buttons all the day, as my kids say. That's all I do. I push buttons all day long. Some of you are accountants. Some of you are teachers, doctors. It doesn't matter what you do. The Lord has given you specific skills and abilities that are particular to you. He has given you passions. You know, you got a job in something that you study, but who gave you that ability to be good at it? It just came out. You're different from the person that is sitting with you. You're different from the person that is in the other side of the auditorium. It is the Lord who has given you specific skills. Not only that, he has allowed you to work in the particular place where you're working. He has provided a job for you. And you benefit from it. It may seem mundane that every week or every 2 weeks or every month, money just pops up into your account. That's what my kids think, that they just it just pops out. You just have your card and you just can use it. There's nothing that you do to that, but you work hard, and the Lord provided that job, the Lord provided the ability, the Lord prosper you, the Lord prosper the company that you work at, and you're able to receive that money, put it in your checking account, and you're able to buy things. So ultimately, it's the Lord who provides for you. So here, Proverbs is calling us, like, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. That's what you do. The first thing you do is you receive it and say, Lord, thank you for providing for my family. I will separate. I will put the first fruits of what you have given me, and I will offer it to you, acknowledging that you are the one who had provided for me and my family. Thank you, Lord. And you know what happens when you do that? Verse 10, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. It will be overflowing. You know what? I know so many stories among us in our church of people that perhaps at some point in their lives they were struggling financially. They didn't have a lot. And they really have to count their money to make it work at the end of the month. And yet, they were faithful. They sought to honor the Lord with their work, with their finances, with their wealth, with the little or much that they had. They were faithful with it. And I see how through time, the Lord has blessed them and prospered them. And now their barns are bursting with plenty. They are able to have more than what they need and be generous with others. So honor the Lord with your wealth, and then your barns will be filled with plenty. Not only that, but read with me Proverbs 22:4. It says the reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches, but there's more, not only riches. Riches and honor and life. So if you are humble before the Lord, if you have fear of Him, if you honor Him, if you respect Him, if you worship Him, if you are reverent to Him, and you honor Him with your wealth, you will not only have riches, He will bless you with honor and life. You will be able to enjoy that with no sorrow. As Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. So you're able to enjoy it. So that's nugget number one. The Lord blesses those who honor you. Now, nugget number two, wisdom is better than riches, although often riches follow wisdom. That's what Proverbs 8 teaches. Verse 11 says, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. And now wisdom is speaking, verses 18 and 19, riches and honor are with me, says wisdom. Enduring, lasting wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. So imagine for a moment that you're able to get all the money that you want. Let's say you win the lottery and you have millions and millions of dollars. What would you do with it? What would you buy with it? Would you buy gold and jewels and a ring with a big diamond? Would you buy a better car, a nice car, a Mercedes, a nicer house, a cruise? What would you buy? What will be important, precious to you? So here it says wisdom is better than all of those things. Proverbs says that if you have wisdom, you're richer than Jeff Bezos. And he's super rich, like he can go to space in his own rocket. But the word of God says, if you have wisdom, you will be richer than Jeff Bezos. Isn't that amazing? Not only that, but if you have wisdom, you will also have a wealth and a righteousness that last, that endure, that do not fade away. That's the nugget number two. So how do you get wisdom then? How is it that you get wisdom? So one way to get that wisdom, one way to pursue it, one way to pursue these riches over material wealth is memorizing the book of Proverbs or memorizing the nuggets of gold that you can find there. That's one way of pursuing wisdom in this book. But there are many others, having fellowship with your friends, talking to them about how you're managing your finances and so forth. So that's nugget number two. Nugget number three, the wages for the righteous and the wicked are different. So this is interesting because we have the perception that, I mean, we have all sorts of perfections, of perceptions. You may think that if somebody is wealthy or has prospered, then the Lord is blessing him. And it depends. Or you can see the other way around. You can see that somebody doesn't have much, and maybe you think, well, he must not be obeying something because he doesn't have much. But here the word explains like how even if from outside two people have money, it's different how money operates in the life of the righteous and what happens in the life of the wicked. They both may have money, but things happen in different ways. They both earn gains, but at the end of their life, the profit is different. Read with me. Proverbs 10:2 says, treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. And then verse 16 of the same chapter, the wage of the righteous leads to life, the gain of the wicked to sin. So no matter how much the wicked accumulates in life, at the end, what he earns will not profit. Wealth will not deliver the wicked from death. He will not save it. Now, Robin and I were just talking about wealth at the beginning of the message, and he was just mentioning to me how at the end of our lives, really, money will not gain us anything. That doesn't mean that God may not be able to provide for you more than what you need. And he was saying he does that so you can be generous with others, to be used as a conduit of blessing to others. So whether you have it or not doesn't really measure how you're doing with the Lord. You can have money and do it in wicked ways. Or you can have money and be really a blessing, being blessed by God, and you use that to bless others as well. So here in contrast, the righteous one accumulates what he's paid to him will lead him to life. The wicked works for material earthly riches that are temporary, that cannot save. The righteous one works primarily for true wealth that leads to life. Proverbs 11:7 says, when the wicked dies, his hope will perish, and the expectation of wealth perishes too. The wicked cannot take his riches after he's died. So he has put his trust in his riches, and once he died, his hope just perishes with him. He's a fool. He starts like enlarging his barn so we can accumulate more of his wealth, and he doesn't know that tomorrow he will die. And who will get his wealth? His wealth will perish with him. Nugget number four, the great dividends of generosity. Proverbs 11:24 says, one gives freely yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. So this is interesting as well. You may think that if you keep all the money that you receive, you will have more. This is just simple math. Let's say you get $100. And then you get 50 of those $100 to somebody else. How much do you have left? 50. So do you have more or less than 100? Less. So it's just simple math. You have less, right? But somehow, the math of the Bible is different. It doesn't work that way. It says that if you give freely, you will grow richer. So you give your 50 and somehow you'll get more. That's what the Bible is saying. How can that be? It's specific. The Proverbs calls us not only to be generous in general, but in particular to be generous with the poor. For instance, Proverbs 22:9 says, "Whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor." And then 19:17, "Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he, the Lord, will repay him for his deed." So that's the secret. That's right there, the secret. When you are giving money to the poor, when you're helping others from your own wealth, that's what it says. You're lending it to the Lord. And you will not get better return of investment than from that bank, right? So you'll get even more. You will get it back. You see, that's exactly what he's saying. So when the Lord blesses you with however much he has blessed you, he doesn't give it to you primarily so you will just waste it. He gives sometimes more money to some people, and they are just conduits. They are just intermediaries. They are just like bridges. They receive it and they distribute it to the rest. They distribute it to the poor. So the righteous man receives the blessing from the Lord and he praises God for providing for him so much more than what he needs. And then the poor that receives through him blesses the Lord because he has provided to him through you, right? So in all cases, God is glorified. He's praised. He's ultimately the one who provides for the rich, both for the rich and for the poor. So give generously as you have received, not only financially, but also give your time and your efforts. And you not only will be more prosperous financially, you also will be more happy, I guarantee. Nugget number 5, do not show off what you do not have. So as many of you know, I was not born in the US. I came in 2002. And one thing that was interesting to me is that when I first came, it seemed to be to me that most people had very nice clothes, they're well-dressed, and have very nice cars. I mean, I was just comparing from the place that I was coming from. And I thought like, wow, like there's not that many poor people here. Like most of them wear like very nice clothes and they have very nice cars. Well, later with time, I start realizing that many of them were actually borrowing a whole lot of money that they could not pay back. And they were doing it like not only with small things like clothes and cars, they were doing it with houses. And there was not a small group of people. There were tons of people that were doing that, and that at some point made the housing bubble burst, and that affected the whole economy of the country because people were living off their limits. They were spending more than they could afford. They were buying houses and cars and clothes more than what they can do. Well, the book of Proverbs has something to say about that. Very specific. Look what it says, Proverbs 12:9. Better to be lowly and have a servant than to play the great man and lack bread. So you pretend that you have a lot and you cannot even eat while the other one pretends to be poor and has somebody to help him. Proverbs 13:7, some who are poor pretend to be rich, others who are rich pretend to be poor. So better that people think that you don't have much or have less than what you have than the other way around. Also, when you borrow a lot of money, more than what you can afford, whether you like it or not, you actually become a slave of your lender. That's also what Proverbs says, 22:7. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender. So you become a slave of the one that has borrowed you money. Instead of pretending to have what you don't, nugget number 6, build your wealth slowly. Now, sometimes we dream that we can get money very quickly. Like, let's say you buy a lottery ticket. I actually know at least one person that he used to buy a lottery ticket every week. And his reasoning was simple. He said, like, if I buy a ticket every week, statistically speaking, I have more probability that one day I will get the jackpot. So he will buy the ticket every week, thinking one day I'll get the lottery and overnight I'll be rich. But that never happened. What about going to gambling, the casino? Like, many of you, including myself, dream about like that day that you go to a place and you go ka-ching, 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 and psh, the coins just come out, and you came with 2 coins and then you come out with just like a lot of them, right? But reality is that most people that go to the casino almost inevitably come with less than what they brought. So I work in the technology world. And one thing that I've noticed is that there's so much information nowadays at your fingertips about the market and the stock, much more than before. Like, you just can, you don't even have to do much. Like, you have news, you have information, you can see how the stock is doing in certain things, and you have so much information. So I start thinking about that, and I thought, okay, it doesn't seem to be too hard to become some sort of investor. So if I just pay good attention to what's going on in the market, let's say I buy Tesla stocks, if I would have paid attention when the news were saying Tesla is doing well and I would have bought a little bit of that, now I will have like 2, 3, 4, 5 times of whatever I had invested. So that doesn't seem to be too hard. So I decided to try. I became apprentice Padawan investor. And I thought that I could outsmart the ones that are professionals. So I just said, I'm going to pay attention to the news, and I'm going to invest a little bit just to try, to see how it goes. So I was paying attention to the news at the beginning of the year, and GameStop start going up. I said, I'm going to buy. So I didn't buy full shares. There's now a thing that you can buy partial shares. So I bought partial shares, and I start going seeing the curve, and it's going up and up, the price is going up and up, and I was like, yes, I'm going to become rich overnight. And then as soon as it started going up, it started coming down very quickly, and I start trying to sell it quickly, so I couldn't sell it. I couldn't sell it. The website will not let me sell it. And I said, well, why? Because there were millions of clowns like me that were trying to do it all at the same time. And the website will not let me sell it. So I called them and I say, hey, I cannot sell the thing. I said, yeah, we're having some issues with our system. We will help you. And then they sold it, without telling me. They just sold it. So I lost my money. I sold it for less than what I bought. So that was enough for me. I quit. I decided pushing buttons all day is better than that. So to commemorate the thing, I wrote a poem. Here it goes. Winning the lottery or gambling with stock, money came easy, soon will be gone. Okay, so my poem has little value for you, but listen what Proverbs says about this. It's golden advice. Proverbs 13:11. Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. or 2021. An inheritance gained hastily in the beginning will not be blessed in the end. So instead of trying to become rich overnight and then trying to do it hastily, be faithful. Just coin by coin, work hard, and you will start increasing it. Nugget number 7. Now, this one is in Spanish. The title is El Diablito No Sabe Para Quién Trabaja. So this is a card game that I used to play when I was a kid. And the rough translation into English is this. It's like, the devil does not know whom he's working for. So this is the game. Like, you're trying to accumulate as many cards as you can. And the rules go, and you go in rounds, and the one that at the end has more cards is the winner, okay? So that's what you're trying to do. Well, the thing is that there are some rules that allow the opponent at some point, if he has the right cards, to steal all the pile that you have. So you start accumulating a lot of cards, and you are about to finish the game, and you think, I'm going to win because I have more cards than anyone else, just to see that one steals all your cards at the end of the game. So that's what happens with the wicked. They accumulate a lot of money. They work hard all their lives. They'll accumulate, and at the end of their lives, they realize that they have worked in vain. Somebody else takes all the cards from them. That's what Proverbs 13:22 says. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. Or 28:8, whoever multiplies his wealth by interest and profit gathers it for him who is generous to the poor. So this is what happens with the wicked. They accumulate money, they work hard for the money, they think they are winning, and at the end of their lives, they die, and their money is worth nothing. And all that they have accumulated goes to somebody else. Goes to the righteous, it says. So this is funny, right? Like, the Lord lets the wicked prosper. He goes and makes a whole lot of money. And then at the end, he says, okay, great, thank you. And he puts the money in the account of the generous one, of the righteous one, and he uses it for his glory anyway. So you better find out what team you're playing with, lest you end in the wrong side. Nugget number 8, better is. Now, here's a set of proverbs that compare two extremes that speak in relation to wealth. Let me give you an example. Proverbs 15:16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. This is kind of like the game that my kids play. Would you rather this or this? Would you rather have little money and be with the Lord? Or would you rather have great treasure, a lot of money, and a lot of trouble? Which one? I hope you choose the right one. This is another example. Proverbs 28:6. Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than a rich man who is crooked in his ways. So an honest poor man is better than a man that is rich, that has accumulated his riches using crooked ways. One last one in this category. Proverbs 16:19. It is better to be a lowly spirit with the poor than to divide the spoil with the proud. Now, how many of you have experienced to interact with rich people that they think that they can do whatever they want to do because they have money? They are proud. So you don't want to be like that. It's better to be lowly in spirit with the poor. Number 9, be careful how you treat the poor. Now, when you are a kid at school, you know there's always these big guys that tend to be the bullies of the school, right? Like they are taller than the rest, they are stronger than the rest, and they look at the little ones like, hey, loser, do whatever I tell you to do. I will crush you otherwise. And the little one is trembling, and he has to do whatever the big one says. Well, that works until the little one calls his gigantic brother, and he comes, and then the bully is like, he just wets his pants right when he sees him. Well, that's exactly what happens. You don't want to be dealing with the big, gigantic brother. You don't want to do that. But that's what Proverbs says. Look what he says in 14:31. Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker. That's God. But he who is generous to the needy honors him, honors God. And even more so, 22:22 and 23. Do not rob the poor because he is poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead for their cause and rob of life those who rob them. So you see, if you are oppressing the weak, the poor, if you're taking advantage of them, you're insulting God, their maker, their creator. And you're going to deal with him sooner or later. And it may cost you your life. That's what it says in Proverbs. Besides, both the rich and the poor, they both were made by God. They are no different before the Lord. He's the maker. That's what it says in Proverbs 22:2. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all, both the rich and the poor. So no one is better than the other before the Lord. Number 10, those who party all the time will be poor. So I was watching the opening ceremony of the Olympics last Friday. You saw like these beautiful drones making the world, but I won't tell you the whole story. But you see the athletes marching, representing their countries. And one thing that is amazing about these athletes is that they work really hard to get a place to get into their teams. As they prepare in the pre-qualification stage, they work more than 8 hours, and they are training every day to get at their best so they can make it. If they slack, if they are not disciplined, if they party, they may lose the chance to do it. They, if you read about them, they all work really hard to get to a place where they can do it. They don't slack. They are not partying. Sometimes some of them party later, but that's a different story. So in general, if you work hard, you have more chances to reach your goals, to accomplish what you want, to be successful. But if you're partying all the time and you're wasting your time and your energy, well, you will not get the grades that you want. You will not get to the university that you want. You will not get the promotion or the job that you want. The same thing happens with finances. You will not become rich if you're indulging in pleasures. You will be poor, according to Proverbs 21:17. It says, whoever loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. And then 23, verses 22 and 21, be not among drunkards or among gluttonous eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty. But if you are diligent, then 28:19, whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits will have plenty of poverty. So if you want a refrigerator full with food, then work hard. Otherwise, you will have plenty of poverty. 11. Nugget 11, the perfect balance. So this is the one before the last topic. And it's based on one of my favorite passages on the book of Proverbs that speaks about poverty and riches. What is the perfect balance? How do you pray about finances and riches? Do you pray to have more? And you work hard to get more? and you pray that the Lord will prosper your work, or you go the other extreme and you just give it all away, you become a missionary and you just become poor and you do, which is the balance? Which one do you do? Do you pray for one or for the other? Well, look what Proverbs 30 says. Proverbs chapter 30, we'll read the second part or verse 8. I love this part. It says, Lord, he's praying, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. If I have too much, I may become independent of the Lord. I may put my trust in my riches. I may become self-sufficient. And I may even get to the extreme of saying, who's the Lord? I don't need the Lord. I can deal fine with my own resources, with my own money. I can do everything that I want with it. That's a very dangerous place to be. I don't know that many people. I think in the whole world there must be just a handful of people that can have a lot of money and still be humble before the Lord and acknowledge him and not be slaves of money. But if you have tons of it, you may get corrupted, and that's dangerous. So you pray like this guy, please, Lord, don't give me too much. Just give me enough. But what about the other extreme? That you have so little that you are tempted to even steal so you can provide for your kids and your family. Or you're even thinking, I'm not going to pay taxes because you break the law, not paying taxes, because like you say, like, I don't have enough. I need this money. And you break the law. So this guy is saying, Lord, don't give me too little. Just give me enough. Don't give me too little so I will dishonor you and be dishonest and profane your name. So what do you pray for, riches or you pray for poor? No, you pray for a balance. You say, Lord, just give me enough. Give me enough so my heart is happy and I know that you care me, that care for me and you love me and you provide for everything I need and I more than I need and you allow me to be generous. Just give me enough, Lord. Don't give me too little so I will profane your name. And finally, nugget number 12. Riches are temporary. Do not put your trust in them. You know, riches are volatile. They are just like the wind. They are not eternal, and they will not last. Get some truth from Proverbs 27:24, for riches do not last forever. And does a crown endure to all generations? Sooner or later, the earthly possessions that you have accumulated will disappear. And if you have put your energy and your trust and your love into them, you will be disappointed. Proverbs 11:28, whoever trusts in his riches will fail, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. So don't put all your eggs in the basket of riches. If you trust money, you will eventually stumble and fall, like 11:28 says. But if you invest in eternal wealth, you will flourish, you will prosper, you will bloom, and not only in this life, but in the life to come. Now, just to close, many times Proverbs talks about the righteous one, right? There's the wicked and the righteous, and it calls us to honor God with our finances as the righteous one. Who is righteous before the Lord? Who is just? who is perfect before the King. Not one. Not even one. So the fact that we have any hope to pray to the Lord and to thank Him, and anything that we have as a blessing from Him flows from the mercy and the kindness of Him providing His Son and making Him poor so that we may be rich. Let us pray. Lord, we have read about Your word, about Proverbs, and we pray that we will seek to live in light of Your truth, that we will be transformed on how Your word calls us to live, that we will seek to honor You with however much You have provided for us. You have been so kind and merciful and loving and caring for each one of us. It doesn't matter how much we have, materially speaking. We are rich. We are richer than the world because we have Your Son. We are part of Your family. We will be singing to You in eternity, and there's no more better riches than that. And that's not because we are righteous, not because we are good, not because we are kind, but because You are. Would You give us a grateful, joyful, peaceful heart, thankful for all that You have given us? Would You let us honor You with our wealth? Would You give us Your Spirit so we may know how to wisely honor You with what You have given us, being generous with our finances and grateful for all You have given us? We pray all this in Your name. Amen.